You were handed two pieces of paper. One of the pieces of paper is an outline of the message and some words that I want you to remember during the week. The second one is a prayer. And we're going to be doing an object lesson during the service this morning. And you notice that a lot of the songs were on fear and safety, God, the safety of God, God's comfort, God's caring. So as you hear the message, and as the Holy Spirit works on your heart and you reveal what one of the fears in your life is when you're caught in the storms of life, write down that fear. Nobody will see it but you. But during the service, we're going to ask you to come up and to light that fear and place it in the burning altar of God and allow the smoke to take the prayer up to God in an object lesson that when you give it to God, you can't come back and touch it again. So feel free during the service to jot down what that fear is, and we'll be asking you to share it with us a little later. You see, there are times where we may say or we may sing that God is good all the time, but we do not mean it. We truly do not believe it at times. There are times in our lives when we have too much on our plate. We are carrying too heavy of a load. We are too tired to keep up the fight. There are times when each of us are caught in the storms of life. And today, we're going to look at a storm the disciples found themselves in and the miracle that Jesus performed that astounded them. They turned towards each other and they asked, "What kind of man is this?" The truth is that Jesus is a very special man. He is the Son of God. Jesus came so that we could learn the way God wants people to love him and to love each other. Jesus talked about it. He taught us and he demonstrated this truth. The miracles Jesus performed are the strongest demonstrations of this truth. Jesus never wasted a miracle. Turn in your Bibles, please, or look up at the overheads to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. And we got the words printed on the screen for you. Here are the words of the Lord. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so worried?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed. "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Jesus did not do a miracle just to show off or to make something easy. Every miracle teaches a point. And the miracle we just read is so important. It's found in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the point of this miracle is to teach us how to deal with storms and crisis when they arise. Before we get to Jesus' miracle, it would be useful to reflect a bit on storms. The first thing we need to see is that we face a variety of storms, and they're listed in your handout. The first type of storms we are likely to encounter is situational. Understanding that situations can change quickly, Solomon wrote, "When calamity overcomes you like a storm, when you are engulfed in trouble." This is when all your plans get thrown out. Everything goes wrong and Murphy's Law is in full effect. The second kind of storm is relational. This is when the relationships between parents and children, husbands and wives, or friends is strained to that breaking point. Once you were close, but now you're not, David said. And he said, I lie down at night. My enemies taunt me and use my name as a curse. And the third type of storm is emotional. This is the most difficult because the storm is hidden. You have a smile on your face, but your insides are seething, boiling, and in distress. Those caught in this storm may be paralyzed by fear, overcome by guilt, raging with anger, churning with bitterness, or consumed with worry or grief or jealousy. I remember in the afternoons growing up, there's a soap opera, which personally I never watched, called Secret Storm. It was on every afternoon. And though people often try to hide it, evidence of this storm is often expressed in speech and behavior. Do you remember a few years ago when both the book and the movie The Perfect Storm was popular? What made the storm perfect was that it was a combination of storms, and the boat and all her crew was lost. You may encounter that and realize that you can sort of handle one, but a combination of these different types of storms is too much for you, too much for me. It's also helpful to consider some basic facts about storms. First, you need to remember that storms are inevitable. Storms will happen. Just wait. A storm will come your way just because they are a part of life. James 1:2 says, when you face trials. Boy, if you had that passage in front of you, circle when. Notice it doesn't say if. James is telling us that we will face storms in life. Nobody sails from cradle to grave without storms. The first sentence in Scott Peck's book called The Road Less Traveled says, life is difficult. A second fact you need to remember is that storms are unpredictable. Storms tend to come up suddenly, unexpectedly, and without warning. As a child, I went fishing with my brother and my dad and my grandfather on Silcoos Lake down by Florence, Oregon. It was a beautiful day when we left the docks, and I was about 6-7 years old. However, after being out on the lake for a little while and tucked away in the cove, suddenly the sky turned black. I don't mean gray, I mean black. The winds picked up, and the waves were tossing our boat around. Water was coming in over the sides. To make things even worse, the motor ran out of gas. And Dad's trying to stand there pouring gas into the tank, and I think he put more into the lake than he did in the gas tank. Needless to say, my brothers and my eyes were probably the size of salad plates or maybe even dinner plates. This is what the disciples found out on the Sea of Galilee that day. We cannot predict what will happen to us today or any day, although many people try. On September 10th, 2001, no one knew what was going to happen the next day, nor did they realize how September 11th was going to affect them. And finally, storms are impartial. They happen to good people, and they happen to bad people. They happen to believers and non-believers. Storms happen to all of us. Jesus told everyone in the Sermon on the Mount, he sends the rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And being a Christian does not exempt us from being in a storm. A common misconception is that the only time we have tough times is when we're disobeying God. My friends, this is not true. The disciples got into the boat because they did obey God. They were obeying Jesus. Jesus told them to get into the boat. They got into the boat, and they sailed into a storm. God has not promised us a storm-free life. This is not heaven. Being in the middle of a storm may be exactly where God wants us to be. Here, we have choices, and people make mistakes. And this is why we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven is perfect. This world is not. If storms are inevitable, unpredictable, and impartial, the issue is, what is my response going to be to the storm that comes into my life? What is your response going to be to the storms that come into your life? There are two possible reactions that we read in Matthew: the reactions of the disciples and the reaction of Jesus. The first reaction was to tremble in fear. The second reaction was to respond in trust. That day on the lake, I probably was filled with panic, if I could go back and recall that day. This is how the disciples responded. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." Now remember, several of those men made their living sailing on the Sea of Galilee as fishermen. They had been out in storms before. They did not get nervous when the breeze picked up. But this storm was different. This was a big storm. This was a really big storm. How do I know that? Because going back and looking at the Greek, the word used to describe that storm is seismos, from which we get seismology and seismograph, which is connected to the study of earthquakes. This was a huge storm, and the disciples reacted in typical fashion. They panicked. Now, my second alternative that day with my dad and grandfather was to be filled with peace. I knew that my dad and my grandfather were there, and they would get us back home safely. The disciples went to find Jesus. What was he doing? What was he doing? Sleeping. Jesus was exhausted from a full day of teaching, preaching, and ministry. And when he got on the boat, he laid down and he went to sleep. The storm came up, but Jesus was not worried at all because he had total trust in God. Jesus knew that nothing ever surprises God. And therefore, if a storm comes up, God knows it. Jesus trusted God and he went to sleep. When you pray, "Lord, I have a problem," God says, "I saw it coming." In a way, it's ironic that Jesus was sleeping, because one of the telltale signs that you are in a storm is a lack of sleep. We lay at night, tossing and turning, going over events in our mind, worrying, wondering what if. Do you know that over $500 million was spent on sleep aids last year? We see Jesus sound asleep in a rocking boat. Jesus is showing the disciples that sleeping can be a statement of faith. It's all in God's hands. Where do you get that kind of peace in a storm when it feels like your ship is sinking? You can do three simple but profound things. First is to remember that God is close. He is near you. He is with you. You are not by yourself. In verse 23, it says, Jesus got into his boat and his disciples with him. Do you think that God is going to let the boat sink with Jesus in it? That should have calmed the disciples from the outlet. Jesus was with them. The first lesson we need to know and remember is God is always with us. That is a powerful statement. There is nothing I will face for the rest of my life that I will face alone. God is with me. God is with you. There is nothing you need to face for the rest of your life in fear, because you know that God is there. God is with me. God is with you. Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is in your boat. We tend to forget that in storms. We think that we are alone, God's far away, and that he's so far away that he doesn't know what's happening. But that's not true. Jesus reassures us with the words, "Lo, I am with you always." Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 tells us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be there with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away." Put that verse somewhere you can see it. Put it on an index card. Tape it to your bathroom mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the visor of your car. Tape it to your desk at work. You do not have to worry if the boat is rocking if Jesus is in the boat. And second, relax in God's care. Remember and relax. The disciples in Mark gave the typical response in a storm. "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" And the answer is, of course he cares. And he hurts. And he cares about what you're going through. So the second lesson is, God cares about what I go through. God cares about what you go through. Repeat that over and over to yourself because it is true. The Bible is a book showing that God cares about us. And that brings us to the third thing that you do in the storm. Rely on God's control. Let God's power see you through the storm. When Jesus was awakened, he said, "Quiet, settle down." In Greek, it's literally, "Sit down and shut up." Miraculously, the wind stopped. And then another miracle happened because the waves stopped immediately also. The sea became as smooth as glass. The disciples had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle, and they should have known that he could have handled this storm. The third lesson we need is that God is in control. God is with me. He cares about me. God is with you. God cares about you. God is in control. Things may get beyond our control, but not beyond God's control. Remember, nothing's too hard for my God. We need to remember that before they got into the boat, Jesus said to them, "We are going to the other side. We are going to the other side." It is inevitable that they're going to make it to the other side. Jesus said they were going to. He didn't tell them it was going to be easy. He didn't say that they weren't going to get wet. He didn't say that they weren't going to be scared or have a panic attack in the middle of the trip. He said, "We're going over there." He did not say if we're going to make it over there. Verse 26 contains an important key for us. "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" We are told two things. First, the root of the disciples' problem is fear. Second, the solution is faith. The greatest threat to the lives of the disciples was not the storm. It was their unbelief. The secret of victory over fear is faith. You do not need a lot of faith. Put a little faith in a big God, and you're going to get big results. Never in the Bible is anyone rebuked for ever having too much faith. The ever-present problem in the Bible is too little faith. It's been said that you have never believed God until you have attempted something that cannot be done by human power. Many Christians live lives that require no faith at all. They risk nothing. They do not attempt anything. They flow through life. The Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, if God knew that the storm was going to be there, why then did God let the disciples go through the storm? Because he wanted them to learn a lesson. We all must learn that lesson. And the only way we learn it is by experience. You never learn this lesson through a pastor. You'll never learn this lesson through a Bible study. You will never learn this lesson through a book. You have to learn that Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. And the only way to learn it is by going through a storm. When I respond to the storms of life in faith, I see God's power most visibly and sense his presence most intently. What's rocking your boat? What's rocking your boat?
Hello. Oh, hi, Dad. How you doing? Nah, I'm just hanging out here at home. What? Mom's sick. What do you mean, Mom's sick? Mom never gets sick. What do you mean, Mom's sick? No, I can't come there today. That's out of the question. What? She's going in the hospital. Which hospital is she going in? You know, it's like a two-hour drive for me to get there, and I'm not sure I can get there today. You know, the car just doesn't run real good. Hospital. All right. Tell me what time. I'll pack some things, and I'll hit the road here in a few minutes. All right. All right. All right. I'll be there. I'll be there. All right. I can't come until you hang up. Hang up. Hang up. All right. I'll see you in a little bit, Dad. Okay. Tell Mom I love her. Ah, this thing is stuck. What's it stuck on? Sure. Everything comes flying out when I finally get it out the door. Ah, there's the thing of beauty. The 1974 bright orange Chevy Vega. Duct tape on the windows, rusted doors, 200 and some thousand miles. I've had it since high school. Yes, this is really a blessing, isn't it? I don't think this thing is going to even make it this far. I don't know why Dad insists that I have to go here. All right, it's in, I'm in. Okay, let's see if it's going to start today. I don't want to make this trip. This is the worst time of year for me to make this trip. It's just been really quiet since I lost my job. I don't have money for the gas tank. Oh, yeah, the gas gauge is dead. I wonder when I put gas in last. I think it's just been a couple days ago. We're good. Okay, here we go. All right, it's started. Yeah, we've got like about an hour to go. 58 more minutes. Oh, there's a nice car. He's got purple hair over there. I like that one. This is going to be really fun. I would play some music, but the radio died back in the 80s. Maybe I brought my iPod. Well, I better watch where I'm going. I didn't bring my iPod. I should have borrowed Pastor Val's. Well, I guess since I'm going to see Mom, I could play that game she always made when we used to have to go on road trips, where we sang songs according to the alphabet. I'm going to need to do something to stay awake here. Well, let's see. Something that starts with an A. Yeah, I'm a child of the 70s. There's some great music then. Leonard Skinner, Styx, Chicago, Barry Manilow. But something that starts with an A. I have it. All by myself, don't want to be all by myself. No, that's not such a good song. Ever since Pete ran off with his secretary and the kids are grown and gone, and I lost my job, and the dog died. Been pretty lonely. Don't think that's a good song. But wait, that sounds like a country song. Maybe I could come up with a country song. It starts with an A. All my exes live in Texas. No. All the family. Pete and his secretary moved to Texas. Even our pastor moved to Texas. What the heck is so great about Texas anyway? It's just one big lot of dust and a big tumbleweed because everything's bigger in Texas. Well, it's certainly a lot of fun. 57 more minutes to go. I suppose I could sing church songs. I've certainly sung a lot of those in my lifetime, although I haven't really been back there in quite a while since Pete left. I've probably forgot them all, too, and good did they do me anyway. But I got nothing else to do, so let's see. Church song that starts with an A. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. A, be blessed be your name. I used to love that song. You certainly do give and take away, don't you, God? But it seems like I'm mostly on the taking away end of things, though. What's up with that? A, B, C. I am a C-H-R-I-S-C-I-N, for I have C-H-R-I-S-C-M-I-H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-T-R-N-A-L-O-Y, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I sure used to love those old Sunday school songs. Life was a lot easier back then before I had to grow up and be an adult and have responsibilities and heartaches. If only I could go back and start all over again. I wonder what I'd do different. A, B, C, D, E. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong. God is so good, God is so good. His banner over me is love. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Where is your love, God? I feel so abandoned. I'm a good person. I don't swear. I go to church, or at least I used to, and I pay my taxes. Isn't that good enough to deserve just a little bit of love in this hectic life? Jay. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Love lifted me, when nothing else would help. Love lifted me. I sure could use a lift right now. If only you would just speak to me once in a while and let me know you're still there. Except I have all these stinking songs stuck in my head. If only I could get them out of my head, then maybe I could hear you speaking to me. I guess when I finally get all the way through this alphabet, my head will clear. So where was I? My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. No other name but the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I wonder what that means anyway. My eyes, my heart doesn't have eyes. Open the eyes of my heart. Amen. O-P. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. Q. Q. I'm blank on this one, but I had better think of something quick because there's Mom's exit finally up ahead. Boy, the time goes quick when you're trying to think of a Q, only a few more miles. Boy, am I not looking forward to this, seeing Mom. I don't believe she's sick. I think Dad was just making it up to get me down there so Mom could tell me lectures about why I haven't been going to church. And then I'm going to have to tell her I'm not even sure what I believe right now. And then she's going to start telling me how much you love me and how I'm being silly. Am I really being silly? Are you really there? With all the troubles I'm having, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know? B, C, D, Q, R. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. I used to love that song back when I was in youth group. I sure believed it way back then. Where has my faith gone? these past few years, I remember feeling so much peace, even in the troubled times. Where did I lose that, and how can I get that back again? R.S.S. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's sure easier to say than to do. How do we wait and have strength? How do we trust and obey? I just don't know anymore. I just don't know. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the pleasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Oh, victory in Jesus. What? 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 No, no, don't be out of gas. Come on. Oh, man. There's Mom's driveway right up there, and I am out of gas. I feel like my whole life is out of gas. I sure would love to have some victory in my life. Somewhere I lost that. I'd give anything just to have you to talk to and to be my friend and to have peace again, if only I knew how. And there's Mom's driveway. I guess I should get out and start walking, and they'll bring me back some gas. I can't go till I finish this silly alphabet, though. Next letter is W. What in the world starts with a W?
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
What is rocking your boat? What is causing your ship to sink? What kind of storm are you going through? Strained relationships? Financial difficulties? Painful memories? Are you going through the storm of health problems? Are you in a secret storm on the inside? Are you enduring an emotional storm that's about to overwhelm you with guilt or grief or anger or jealousy or fear or bitterness or worry? Are the circumstances of life tossing you back and forth? If you feel that way, God is saying to you, no matter how big the wave is, Jesus can rebuke it. He wants to calm the storm in your life. He wants to say, peace, be still. My friends, let me tell you one more thing about storms. They are inevitable, unpredictable, and impartial. But they are only temporary. They do not last. Mark Twain and a friend went out one afternoon in the rain, and the friend asked, "Do you think it will stop?" And Twain said, "It always does." That's true of every storm. You go through it, but it will not last forever. In Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, Nettie sings, "When you walk through a storm, hold your chin up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." Some of you, some of us, are in a storm, and God's word to us is, hang in there, I am with you. The sun will shine again, there is hope. Some of you may not be going through a storm right now. Give thanks to God. But should you do, minister to those going through a storm. That's the purpose of the church. This building exists because people are hurting, and in their pain, they have spotted Richmond, and they have come in. And we remember together that God cares about you and everyone else in our community and everybody else in the world. God is always with us, and God is in control. He will help you through if you will trust him today. Shall we pray?